It's the latest news.
Because you know that they're going to cover it.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
WSMN now presents The Chamber Report. In the next hour, you'll be updated and informed on important issues regarding the greater Nashua business community and how it affects you. Your host for The Chamber Report is Nashua native and veteran broadcaster Ed Leicious. From the broadcast booth to the State House to Washington and back, serving the greater Nashua region. Ed is a political, broadcasting, and business veteran. Ed will lead the charge in discussing news and views, as well as interviewing representatives of local establishments and organizations. And now, it's time for the Chamber to report to you. It's the Chamber Report on 1590 WSMN, Nashua's news and talk. Here's your host, Ed Leicious.
Thank you, John Cassine. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Chamber Report for this 10th day of November. And, of course, tomorrow, if you're superstitious or you feel lucky, it's 11-11-11. And it will be Veterans Day tomorrow. The parade in Nashua kicks off at 10:30, weather permitting. Comes down from the stadium through Main Street and disassembles over at the Elm Street Middle School. And a happy birthday today to the United States Marine Corps, 236 years. Semper Fi. Our show today is being brought to you in part by Divine Middlementon Branch of Manchester, Dartmouth Hitchcock of Nashua, Avocar Financial Services of Nashua, and by People's United Bank. And today we're going to be talking about intellectual properties, and our guests from Divine Middlemet are attorneys Kim Peasley and Paul Remus. Good morning. Welcome to the Chamber Report.
Good morning. Good morning.
Kim, if you'd start by giving our listeners a little idea of who you are and a little bit of your background before we get into things, if you
Certainly.
Would.
Certainly. Originally a Maine native, but have been in New Hampshire for about 15 years. I started out with a graduate degree in chemistry and moved quickly into a law degree so that I could help protect people's intellectual property, particularly in the patent space, but also trademark, trade secrets, and copyright.
Yeah, there's an interesting progression there.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you've since gone on to get your PhD?
That's right, yep. Yeah, up at Dartmouth in chemistry.
Super. And Paul, what about you?
I've been in New Hampshire for about 30 years now. Most of the people in Bedford think I'm a native, but the old timers know better. I got an undergraduate degree in physics at Yale College and then moved on, go back to the Midwest where I grew up to watch a football team and got a law degree at Michigan and then came out here, as I say, 30 years ago, and it's been a great run.
Well, there's quite a few folks that have done that, and in fact, I had a former neighbor. It was kind of a split household. One was Michigan State, and the other was Michigan. So on one given Saturday afternoon each fall, it was a very interesting household to be in.
That's a good way to put it. I'd run for the hills.
Well, we're going to talk about intellectual property, and I guess a general question first. With all the changing social medias and everything today, is it making it more complicated to protect this property, or is it having no effect?
It does have some effect. It's all the different categories we're going to talk about were created 100 years ago, so you have to shoehorn new items into one of the categories, which makes it a little hard, but I think with some thought it works.
It does. Well, you're going to tell us how. And how does someone go about protecting their ideas?
Well, the first thing, Ed, is to figure out which one of three main categories your idea falls into. The traditional idea, when you think of intellectual property, is a new machine, a new method to make something, or a new composition, a new drug. Those are all things that you protect with a patent. Now, the other categories are if you, one of the other categories is if you write something or paint something or write music. Those are all things protected by a copyright, not a patent. So you want to make sure you are looking at the right category. And the third and last category is a trademark, which is if you come up with a logo, a short phrase, or a new name, or even a sound. The NBC Chimes is a trademark. Anything that identifies the source of goods, it can be a trademark, and a trademark can be very valuable. When I was a kid, nobody walked into a hardware store and said, give me one of those pieces of plastic that's a tube formed in a circle. They all said, give me a hula hoop. Mm-hmm. So it's very valuable if you have a trademark. But so that's another separate category to protect.
One of the things you mentioned, a painting, yes, that would be copyrighted. But I guess I wouldn't think of a painting as intellectual property, but I guess it is.
And in fact, you can buy a painting, but not be able to reproduce it because you don't have the copyright. Copyright may be separate from the mm-hmm. actual article.
Does obtaining a patent guarantee that you're going to be a success overnight? You're going to be the next Bill Gates?
I wish it only in the same way that dropping out of college guarantees success. Mm-hmm. In other words, no. We get a lot of people coming in with ideas that they want a patent, and I've been doing this long enough now that I try and be honest with the people and say, if you get a patent, it's a very pretty piece of paper with a gold seal and a red ribbon, but it's an expensive piece of decoration unless you can make a success. And frankly, I don't see you ever selling one of these things to anybody. So it's clearly a very different question. I can get a patent on just about anything if I make it narrow enough, but that has no relationship really to whether people can sell the patented invention and make any money.
And what is the process of obtaining a patent, and what is a patent really other than that piece of paper, or is it more?
It is more. The process is to have somebody who's a patent lawyer or a patent agent. You have to take a special bar exam with the patent office in order to be able to write patents for the patent office. You write an application, you file it, and it takes right now, because the patent office is underfunded, it takes at least 2 years to have the patent issued to you. But the key thing that people should know, and if you do know this, you know more than 90% of the lawyers in the state, and that is that a patent doesn't give you the right to do anything. It's a negative right. It gives you the right to stop other people from making, using, or selling the invention. So if I have a patent, I can stop other people from doing things. But the fact that I have the patent doesn't mean that I can do it. Somebody else may have another patent that could stop me, even though I have a patent, from doing it. So that's a key thing that most people either don't know or have forgotten.
Is that because of the narrowness of what they've put into the patent application, or the slight quirk in the design? Or
No, that's a basic way the patent law is written. No matter how you write the patent application itself, or you only have the right to stop somebody else. It comes up in the case of an improvement. A quick example is if I patent I met all the requirements, and I patent a three-legged stool.
Mm-hmm.
That's a neat new, let's call it new, and I get a patent. Now, you use it and say, so I can stop other people from using a three-legged stool. But let's say you've got it and you're using it and you say, this is really great invention, but I got a sore back because I don't have anything to lean against. So you take a three-legged stool.